Jai Radha Madhava Punjabi
Vedanta Swami Prabhupada ki jai. ISKCON BBT founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jaya Vishnupad Paramahansa Paribhrika Acharya Ashtotar Dutta Sri Shima. His Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur ki jai. Ananda Koti Vaishnava ki jai. Nama Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Prem Chukha Hoshu Krishna Chaitanya Bhagavanityananda Sri Vaitikara Hara Sri Vas Hari Goa Bhakta Vinda ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopinath Shyamakun Radhakun Giri Gopadhan ki jai. Vrindavan Dham ki jai. Navadvip Mayapur Dham ki jai. Jagannath Puri Dham ki jai. Jagannath Swami ki jai. Ganga Mahi ki jai. Jamuna Mahi ki jai. Tulsi Devi ki jai. Bhakti Devi ki jai. Shri Harinam Sankirtan ki jai. Transcendental Book Distribution ki jai. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Granada. Narayana Namaskritya. Narancha Narottaman. Devim Sadaswati Vyasam. Tato Jaya Mudire.
Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our earth means of conquest, we should offer our respectful obeisances unto Lord Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, unto Srila Prabhupada, the inspirer, and unto His Holiness Vridhinanda Das Goswami and Gopi Paranadana Prabhu, the translators and commentators of this portion of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Nashta Prayeshu Bhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavat Uttama Shloki Bhaktim Bhavati Naishtiki. By regular attendance in classes on Srimad Bhagavatam and by rendering devotional service to the pure devotee, all that is inauspicious within the heart is destroyed almost to nil, and loving devotion to the Supreme Lord, who is glorified in the best of songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. On this 9th day of May 2011 in New Vrindavan, we are speaking on Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 39. Akura's vision. Text number 31. Sri Shukha Bhavacha Evam Ravana Viraha Antaraha Drisham Vajaspriyaha Krishna Vishakta Mansaha Visridya Lajjam Rurudusma Suswara Govinda Damodara Varadeti Sri Shukha Uvacha Evam Ruvana Virahatora Vrisham Vajastriya Krishna Vishakta Manasa Visridya Lajjam Rurudusma Susmaram Govinda Dhamodara Maraveti Sri Shukha Uvacha Evam Ruvana Virahatora Vrisham Vajastriya Krishna Vishakta Manasa Visridya Lajjam Rurudusma Suswaram Govinda Dhamodara Maraveti Evam Ruvana Virahatora Vrisham Vrajastriya Krishna Vishakta Manasa Visridya Lajjam Rurudusma Suswaram Govinda Dhamodara Maraveti Evam Ruvana Virahatora Vrisham Visridya Lajjam Rurudusma Suswaram
Vrinda Dhamodara Maraveti And there's some beautiful passages there.
One of the verses that are quoted, by Rupa Goswami, it embodies this mood. You know, there's so many verses, so many passages that deal with this, all based on this section of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is what the Goswamis would do. They would take one section, analyze carefully all the varieties and intricacies of the emotions and rasas expressed there, and then expand it into Vidarbha Madhava, the play about the meeting of Radha and Krishna, all these things, and the play by Ramananda Roy, Jagannath Vallabha Nataka embodies this. So this verse that Gauri Chaitanya chants and then explains embodies this very mood. So Radharani says, in separation from Krishna, he's just left from Mathura, or is there in Mathura, and she says, Kwananda kudachanda ma kuchikichanda karan kuti kwamanda muradira va kunasurindra mila kuti kwarasada satandavi kwasikijiva rakshaushadi niririmamasadutta ma kwapapahanta ha digvithim. So this digvithim is like what the gopis are saying, oh providence, they rail against providence for sending Mathura and taking Krishna away. So this is one of their moves, is that, oh, this is a great bad luck, this is a great misfortune. So this deep-within means, oh, alas, alas, providence is, I condemn my bad luck. So this word kwa means, of course, where? Where is he who is this? Where is Krishna who has arisen like the moon in the dynasty of Nanda Maharaj? Where is he who has the beautiful effulgence of the Indomilajan, sapphire? Where is he who plays these low and chanting melodies on the flute? Where is he who is so expert at dancing in the rasa dance? Oh friend, Radha speaking to a friend, where is he who is the only medicine who can cure my disease of separation from him? Rakshaushadi. Alas, he's gone away, I condemn my bad luck. So this, then Lord Chaitanya expands on this verse, and it's described there, remembering the details of Krishna's beauty and his activities and the lovely way in which he spoke to them. And it's all of this very high emotion of separation, this viraha, bhava. So also, we should remember that the essential verse, that beautiful Kaustubha Mani jewel of a verse spoken by Madhavendra Puri when he was on his disappearance bed, and which is mentioned at the beginning of the Madhya Lila, when Lord Chaitanya is on his way to Puri, he stops in Ramuna and he tells all these pastimes of Madhavendra Puri. And that verse embodies this same mood, the same mood that we're reading here. I dina dayalu nata he motara nata kadava lokise. Vidyam turaloka kataram dayata bhanti kinkarobiham. So, this word I, this is a high, it's like a word that indicates high emotion and agony of separation. Dina dayalu nata he. Every word is important. So, this word dina, this word dainya comes from that, is the sense that I am very wretched, neglected, and helpless without you. This is actually a mood we're meant to cultivate. That dina dayadva, Krishna is most merciful, his heart is melting, agra, with mercy and compassion for the most wretched. Radharani is identifying herself in that category. Dina dayadva nata, hey, oh you. Madhura nata, this defines the scene. Krishna's in Mathura, and Radharani's in Vrindavan. And he is her master. She still recognizes him. She's never going to give up her attraction to him. Madhura nata, kadava lokise. This is the essential point. When will I see you again? Even before they left, they had this poor viraga of extreme separation, terrified at Krishna's disappearance from their sight, so they wouldn't see him again for a long, long time. Ridiyam todaloka katadam. Without seeing you, my heart has grown unsteady and miserable. Dayata Brahmati, oh beloved, Dayata Brahmati Kinkara, what shall I do now? Where shall I go? What shall I do? It's a very simple verse, but it embodies the most profound mood of separation that was then expanded by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the Goswamis. And this was the essential mood that Lord Chaitanya displayed in all those, in the Anti Lila, and even before that. So, how are we to relate to this? I wanted to also share with you some of the explanation of this whole scene in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. How many have read this Brihad Bhagavatamrita? Okay, there's a few. It's mattering. In the latter part of this Brihad Bhagavatamrita, second part, chapter 6, there is a description of this very scene of Akrura coming, and it's expanded. And I'll share a few of the details there. This is by Sanat Goswami. Srila Prabhupada said, if you want to understand Krishna, we should read Brihad Bhagavatamrita. This is an Adi Lila, I can give you the, I don't have the reference in it. And it's because of that statement of Srila Prabhupada that this was the first book that this BBT branch in Govardhan, headed by Gopikananda Prabhu, began with that book. So very important book for all Gaudiya Vaishnavas. The first book written by the Goswamis is this book, Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So there it describes, and one thing you get throughout the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and this especially, is how is Krishna feeling about this? What is his feeling? As the gopis are lamenting, as Mother Yashoda is lamenting, all the residents of Vrindavan are in complete agony contemplating this imminent, severe separation from Krishna. And what you get there is a display of what Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita, as they surrender to me, I reciprocate. So as they're in agony of separation from him, he's also in agony and imminent separation from them. This is what you see there. So what happens there is that Akrura comes, and of course there's a big play on his work, on his name, right? He's called Akrura, means not cruel. And the gopis berate. It's how can you be called not cruel when you are the most cruel in all the universe? You've come to take away our beloved Krishna. You're nothing but an agent of Kamsa, you know? And Kamsa's coming. So Mother Yashoda, she doesn't want to, she's also in agony. She doesn't want to let Krishna go. She's in the house protecting him. She's terrified of Kamsa. She's afraid that Kamsa will in fact kill Krishna. This is her boo, right? She doesn't recognize that he's the Supreme Personality of God. So how can she give her beloved Krishna over to Akrura to be taken to Kamsa? He doesn't want to do it. So there's this tension set up. Nanda Maharaj, first Akrura explains the situation to Nanda. And the situation is that Devaki and Vasudeva are being tormented by Kamsa. They're in great danger, they're in prison. And all the Vrishnis are trembling in fear of this Kamsa, who's an extremely powerful demon. And he has no mercy. And even the demigods are trembling. He's on that level. So the only one who can take care of this is Krishna. He needs to go to protect his parents, to relieve them of this misery. And there's also this mood that he's also the cause of it. Right? If he hadn't taken the birth, then they would never be in prison. There wouldn't be any omen, the eighth child would kill him. So Krishna feels responsible. And if you remember, when he finally goes back and he kills Kamsa, he apologizes. Oh, I put you through so much. You know, there's this mood. In order to evoke their paternal mood, he apologizes, bows down to them. Okay, so in this scene, Nanda Maharaj has to plead with Yashoda and assure him absolutely up and down, you know, that you'll bring him right back. That he'll just be there a little while and bring him back. So Yashoda, feeling this tension between her absolute love for Krishna and that she doesn't want to let him out of her sight, and he'll be in danger. And the fact that Nanda Maharaj is assured he'll bring him right back, and only Krishna can help Vasudeva Devaki, so she agrees. Then the other elder gopis, they berate Yashoda. Say, what are you doing? It's like you're taking your calf and putting it into the mouth of a lion. You know, how can you do this? You know, we can't even live a moment without Krishna. So this is this high emotion that's reflected here, but it's expanded. So then as soon as they see Krishna come out, then Yashoda takes Krishna's hand and puts it into the hand of Akrura and says to Nanda, you promised me that as soon as this is done, you'll bring him right back and put him into, don't listen to anybody, don't be fooled by anybody, you know, don't be tricked, you have to bring him right back to me and put his hand in my hand again. And Nanda Maharaj assures her up and down at this moment. And Krishna also promises. Yes, 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 as soon as I do this, I'll come right back. And you see this high emotion. But the gopis don't believe it. They're mad at this high emotion of imminent separation. And they start crying and wailing. So finally he goes onto the cart, and all the gopis come out and start wailing and crying. It describes that the trees are also shedding tears. The stones are melting. The lightning bolts are breaking. The rivers are drying up and running backwards and leaving all the fish to flounder around. This is what's going on in the night. And as soon as the gopis come out, they start wailing and they're crying. And Krishna also starts crying. So does the Akura, so does Balaram. They're all, the tears are just coming, they're fainting in imminent separation. This is the emotion. And then, and as Akura faints and Balaram faints, and Krishna, he wakes up first, he sees the gopis, and they go off to a little grove, take away. He doesn't want to leave. Krishna doesn't want to leave any more than the gopis want to leave. So now Akura gets up and says, oh, what have I done? Now Krishna's gone. Well, how can we find him? So Balaram and he, they search. And Balaram, you can tell by some signs what groves are in. But because Krishna is surrounded by the gopis, Balaram stays aloof. He never interferes with this intimate relationship. But Akura goes, he bows down to all the gopis and he begs them to please understand the situation. He describes the perilous situation of Vasudeva and Devaki and all the Vishnis under Kamsa's cruel rule. But the gopis won't hear of it. They say, you're just an agent of Kamsa, you're lying to us. You know, get out of here. You know, you're so-called a cruel, you're the cruelest there is, like that. But Krishna, he is sensitive to this. And he to the argument of Akura, he realizes he has to go to Mathura. So he tears himself away from the gopis and they get on a chariot. And off they go. And it's described before this whole description, Sanatana Goswami says that even now, stones and trees will melt in ecstasy, in tears of agony, when they hear about this description. So then, meanwhile, the gopis, they're throwing themselves in front of the chariot wheels. And all the animals are coming and doing it too. They don't want Krishna to go. So how are they going to get out? So Akura, he's going very carefully, and finally he realizes he's going to have to just split really fast. So he goes and swerves around, gets off the road and everything, and hits the whip, and off they go. And this is how Krishna leaves for Mathura. There's a lot more in there. Section 2, chapter 6, around verse 260, if you're interested, you have access to that brief Bhagavatam. Now, how does this relate to us? How are we meant to feel this? First of all, Srila Prabhupada did not neglect to give this to us. He gave us the Krishna book, and he describes it there. Gives a wonderful translation. And we should remember that throughout this early part of the 10th canto, there are various instances when the gopis express a similar mood. Not as intense, because Krishna is just away from the village, he's in the forest. But whenever he goes to the forest, this mood of separation comes. And therefore you have these gopi geets. There's four of them. The Venu geet, very famous. The Yuga geet, chapter 35, which is similar to Venu geet in its subject matter. The Brahmara geet, Radharani's song. Now this is after Krishna leaves, and Uddhava comes back. And she's expressing many of the same sentiments here. In the madness, 10 different verses, 10 different varieties of mad talking and separation of Krishna. This is how refined this analysis and description of rasa is in our literature. There's nothing like it anywhere. So for the first part of the verses, she takes this bee to be a messenger for Krishna. Right? So she's mad at the bee. He says, so you're just the friend of the cheater. You know, kita babando, don't touch my feet. I can see you trying to get to my feet. And your whiskers have some of the kumkum from my rivals, you know, from the golem that rubbed off from my rival's breast. You know, so don't bother me, you know. So that's kind of a boo, you know. And she goes on, different boos. And then the bee disappears as bees come and go, you know. And as soon as the bee disappears, she takes it, oh my God, he's gone back to Krishna to tell him all the insults that I've given him. And then the bee appears again, and she's very solicitous. Oh, thank you for coming back. Do you want some gift? I can offer you all these boons, you know, like that. But another kind of mad talking. So this is, you know, and Lord Chaitanya displayed all of this. You know, he took these things, and you'll see in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, one verse will be quoted, then there'll be a long explanation. It's quoting Lord Chaitanya as he expands on these. This is our legacy. This is what Srila Prabhupada has given us. So in the Gopi Geese, what you find there, and you also find it here, and this which is also a kind of a Gopi Geet. So the fourth one is when Krishna leaves in the Rasa dance. That's maybe the most famous one. Many devotees know this verse, Tavakatamritam Tapta Jivanam, which Maharaj Padaparuga, he's sung to Lord Chaitanya in the garden during Jagannath Rath Yatra. So there's about 19 of those. Very emotional, very moving, just like this section. So what's going on with these geets is there's an intense remembrance of Krishna. This is what you find. Intense remembrance of Krishna. Description of the different dealings, his form, the sounds, you know, the fragrance, the five different elements of Krishna that are so attractive. His activities, his moods, you know. And then there's this outpouring of grief, really. Please come back to us so that we can experience this again. This last verse, the one we just read, Govinda Damodara Madhaveti. They're just simply calling out the names of Krishna. No more shame. They're not trying to hide their love for Krishna. It's out in the open. And they're feeling intensely Krishna's separation. Now we know philosophically, just to step back a minute from this high emotion, that these expressions of vidahata, atala means distraught. So these are negative emotions. But we know that ultimately this is the highest ecstasy, isn't it? That we know that Lord Chaitanya appeared to be in such misery and separation from Krishna, but actually he was in the highest possible type of ecstasy. So how does that work? Well, the simple fact is that Krishna responds and appears according to the intensity of our emotion toward him. And of course, as bhaktas, we want that emotion to be positive, love, right? The love for Krishna. So how does one develop love for anyone? By contact. So without contact, without sambho, there's no separation. So in our sadhana, we are trying to be cured of our disease of forgetfulness of Krishna by saturating the mind with Krishna thought, beginning with the holy name. This is nothing but calling on the holy name, Govinda Dhamma. Everything is there in the holy name. And really, when you think about it, the chanting of Hare Krishna is meant to be in this mood. The child calling out to his mother, helplessly, you know, we're helpless without you. Our life doesn't have any meaning without you. Please appear to us. Engage us in your service. This is how we're meant to chant Hare Krishna. So every time we chant, whether japa or kirtan, this mood of calling upon the Lord to please appear in our hearts, please come back, please let us serve you, it's actually reflected here. So we can learn a lot from this. Not that we're at the level where we can enter into fully the understanding of this gopi's emotion or the whole residence of Vrindavan, but we're meant to contemplate it. And one of the things that is so central to our practice is the effect that sangha has. And what I mean by that is that we can, just like it's described here, that all of the residents of Vrindavan started weeping, and even Krishna and Balaram and Nakura, in response to the gopis' intense emotion and their own weeping. And how are we sitting here? Because Srila Prabhupada came to America and he showed a genuine realization of Krishna by his personality. Not just the meaning of the words he spoke, but his whole personality and his being. This is real. Right? This is real. It's not just some academic subject matter. Right? Because before Prabhupada came, there was Bhagavad Gita. They studied Gaudiya Vaishnava and probably in Berkeley somewhere, you know. But it had no effect because no one had any faith. There was no realization. So that faith, that absolute faith and realization that Prabhupada had, he was able to transmit by sangha to a few fortunate souls who were receptive to that. And that's how things work when you enter into a room, into this temple room here. And like the other night, this wonderful Nam Jagya. And then Kirtan is, you know, so beautifully being chanted, and the devotees are singing, and there's the deities. Well, what's going on there? You know? Whatever you were thinking of, maybe you were a little Maya, this and that, whatever. But you come into the temple and suddenly you're saturated by this intense Krishna consciousness, and you pick up on it. And you're drawn in. And your, you know, emotions are aroused. You're Krishna conscious. Right? This is how we're meant to receive these passages. We read them, we try to contemplate and understand what's going on, and the very emotions described here can affect us, should affect us. We shouldn't be afraid that, oh, this is so that I should not even read it. Srila Prabhupada gave us these books, so we'll read them. I have a confession to make. I was part of the original Gopi Bhava Club back in 1976. Now, that was a misguided attempt to enter into these passages and these emotions prematurely in a way that wasn't appropriate. And what I mean by that is that solely and wholly they would read these things. I was going to be there to read the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It had just come out. It's 1976. The CCA had just been published a few months earlier. 17 books, right? We have to understand that, you know, how the movement grew. When these new books came out, they had a profound effect on the whole movement. Every devotee would read them. Suddenly, there's a whole different perspective on Lord Chaitanya. Even when Madhya Lila started to come out, I remember reading, because I was reading these books before they came out, because I was working on them. And here I'm working on the second chapter of Madhya Lila, and I'm reading how Lord Chaitanya, the second chapter, if you know the history, Krishna's Kaviraj was having maybe some kind of health crisis or something, and he thought maybe he wouldn't finish the book. So he puts in a little Madhya Lila there. There's a bit of a whole Madhya Lila chapter in the Madhya Lila. So there it's describing how Lord Chaitanya, in this state of extreme separation, he would show ecstatic symptoms that were never shown before and never since. He would withdraw his limbs into his body, you know, just like a tortoise, even his head. And I read that, I said, what is that? I thought I knew something about how Lord Chaitanya acted, and this is beyond everything, you know. And then when everything came all at once, all these books, 70 books came suddenly, it had a profound effect on the movement. And because suddenly there were detailed descriptions of all these things, you know, of the emotions and the moods and everything. So some devotees felt, well, this is the purpose, this is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to become gopis. It says right here. Madhya Lila chapter 8, right? Ramananda Roy, you know, this is the highest thing, it's in the purport, probably, you know. So, we would get together and read those portions of the Anta Lila, some of the Madhya Lila, wherever there was these intimate passages. So, to my great good fortune, I dropped out before Prabhupada came in June of 76 and smashed the whole thing. But the idea was, there was a certain element of validity to it, but the way it was done was wrong. And what I mean by that is that we're meant to read these books. Just like I'm so happy you've gone through now, you're going through the 10th canto. And we did that in San Diego, we're in the middle of the Uddhava Gita. Such valuable, invaluable instructions, you know. These are meant for us. Prabhupada wanted us to have the whole Bhagavatam. So, but we don't just read this passage. We're going to go through and we're going to read the prayers of Akura. You know, so important, deep philosophy. You're going to get to chapter 87. It's not that we skip over that and we go to some other section. Chapter 87 is perhaps the most philosophical chapter in the whole Bible time. These personified Vedas, they come and they refute the karma of the mantra, they refute the Mayavada. Some of the other philosophies, some of them come forward and desire to be born as gopis in Vrindavan and join Krishna's leader. So that will all be there in time. But we shouldn't neglect these. So what I'm getting at is that by reading these passages, not neglecting them, by reading them, trying to enter into the mood as Srila Prabhupada has given us and as presented here, we can begin to at least feel a little bit of this emotion and of separation from Krishna, which is after all what we're trying to cultivate. And that should pervade our daily practice. How is a day of Krishna consciousness organized? Well, Srila Prabhupada meant we get, you know, there's a morning program, and you see the deities. Krishna appears out of his great kindness. He's there, right, on the altar. There's Radha Vrindavan Chandra, Vornatai, Gopal Nathji. You have deities in every direction here. There's Jagannath and Srinagar. So we see, we get darshan. So we should be very eager to see that. We should be here early, waiting. When will the curtains open? When will the curtains open? Right? It's like you go to Jaipur, where Govinda is. They come early, and they're so eager to see this, get that darshan of Krishna. And to have Krishna see them. Krishna's also seeing you. And then at a certain point, the curtains close. Alas, there's a separation. Then you go do your duties during the day, and while you're doing the duties, oh, when will I see Krishna again? Remembering how he was dressed, right? Remember separation. And then at night, again coming together, oh, there's Krishna, you know, to greet us, to see us. You know? You may not know this, but every night, Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna has a great festival. They come, there are plays, there are jesters, yes? There are all kinds of entertainment. There's a festival of inspiration every night. They come to entertain Krishna, all the residents. So that's the evening program. And then, oh no, the curtains close again. Let me think of Krishna at night. Is it in the dreams? This is so. Same thing in the Goloka Vrindavan, in Bhuma Vrindavan. How much of the gopis really see Krishna on his way out to the passage as he comes back? You know, when they see him. So most of it is separation, but there's also the meeting. So in our conditioned state, we've forgotten Krishna completely. We're not hankering to see him because our minds have become saturated with the sense gratification. And so we're imposing this separation of meeting on material relationships, but it doesn't work. They have this phrase, absence makes the heart grow fonder, right? Yeah, for a while. And then you become very bitter, right? Is that this person must have found someone else? Let me file for divorce, I'll sue them, right? Something like that. So the same mood is there for a little bit, but it doesn't work. It doesn't last, because all the relationships here are contaminated. They're through the modes through the modes of nature. But that one of the symptoms of pure love of God is that even though there's so much reason for breaking the relationship doesn't break. Right? Krishna broke his promise, ostensibly. He didn't come back. You know? Nanda Maharaj had to come back. This is described, I think, in the Gopal Champari, when he comes back without Krishna. He can't even look Yashoda in the face. He hides away for a while. He just promised. And then Brihad Bhagavatam, it is, you know, absolute promise. And he couldn't do it, you know? Because there are some more demons there that he had to, and he had to spend some time with Vasudeva Devaki. He gets involved in that whole Mathura Leela and then Dwarka Leela. So eventually he returns. It's mentioned in the Padma Purana after killing Dantabhaka. I won't get into that. But the idea is that as you read an entry devotion, there, you know, everyone becomes thin, their minds are just like cotton. You know, year after year, they're just, but they don't give up their bodies. You know? They're still maintaining, somehow maybe Krishna will come back. That's the highest emotion. It's almost painful to hear about it. But in our daily sadhana, we should cultivate, first of all, more and more deep remembrance of Krishna. All the details. Let me give this little summary. God is in the details. God is in the detail. One of the prayers that I try to chant every day, I should chant every day, is called the Premamrita Rasayana Stotram. Now, a Rasayana is like a life-giving elixir. You know? So this is chanted by Radharani in separation from Krishna. And it just begins with a bunch of names. Krishna, Krishnendra, Ramanda, Govinda, Gokurotsavaha, Gopala, Gopa, Gopisha, Vallavindra, Vajeshwara. It's just Krishna and Vrindavan. Krishna, oh, the moon of Krishna, oh, personified bliss. And she goes on like that, remembering him. She's chanting this to mitigate the pain of separation. You see? And she, over and over again, she's chanting these. Like, it's 35 verses. And in the end, it says, anyone who hears or chants this meets prema personally. It's another one I can give to you if you want. But the idea is that saturating the mind with thoughts of Krishna, all the details, you know, remember him, call out to him, and then in our daily services when we're not directly in front of the deity or we can't be in the remember and chant Hare Krishna in that mood. That's Krishna consciousness and following in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And also, but Shikshastra embodies this, the last two verses, you know, the same mood that we're seeing here. Yugayatam Rameshena Chakshusha Pravashayitam Shunyayatam Jagat Sam Govinda Vadahayane. Every moment drags on like a million years or more. From the rain clouds of my eyes, the tears and torrents pour. This whole creation is nothing but a vast and joyless void. Oh Govinda, by your absence, I am being destroyed. And the last verse also. Let Madhava embrace this maid who's fallen at his feet, or let him trample me, or my most ardent hopes defeat, by never giving me a chance to see him anywhere, thus shattering my heart and plunging me into despair. You see, he is a reckless libertine and not a saint, so let him act in any way he likes without restraint. Yet though his cruel and crooked ways may cause me constant woe, Krishna is the only Lord my heart shall ever know. This is the and Lord Chaitanya gives a whole explanation of that. You can consult the 20th chapter. So I've kind of gone off in all directions, but that's pretty much what I have to say about this. If there's any further discussion, any of our exalted Maharajas or seated devotees can add something, please feel free to do so. Questions, comments? Nityo Viva Prabhu.
Could you elaborate on how Prabhupada smashed the Gopi Baba Prabhu?
Oh, you want a little more history? Okay. Well, what, first of all, why did I drop out? The reason was that because of the actual, you know, Nevi nature of the instigators or the leaders, it became very political. This is a sign that it really wasn't genuine, you know. I mean, basically, what happened was that they started to use this as a weapon. Said, oh, we have the nectar. The GBC doesn't have the nectar. No one else has the nectar. Anyone who doesn't take part in this. Tulsi Puja was the most favorite part of the morning program. You know, because Tulsi Puja, you pray to become a mantri, actually. I don't know if you know that, but look at the words. So that they would dance ecstatically in that. But the rest of it, they would come a little bit, maybe not so much. So it became political. In other words, you read a little bit, then say, yeah, we got the nectar, this and that. It became like a gossip club. So I dropped out. So what happened is Prabhupada came in June of 76. This was his last visit to L.A. And his last visit, I think, to the West. From there, flew back. And then went to someplace in Asia. So various of the leaders saw the danger of this, and they told Prabhupada on a morning walk what was going on. So then Prabhupada had a meeting, and he invited all of the leaders of this Gopi Baba Club, which I no longer belong to. And he made some very famous statements, which actually it wasn't recorded. You know, Prabhupada was very wise. He didn't have it recorded, but Harisari was there, and he related some of it much later in his Transcendental Diary. And it came out, you know, some of the sayings. First deserve, then desire. Here's the phrase. First deserve, then desire. In other words, to try to imagine that we have this desire for Krishna that's expressed here by the gopis is sahajiya. It's not so easy. Sahajiya means easy. Taking it all easy. You know, not that books, we don't need no books. You know, this Janai Krishna and, you know, Radha Krishna, that's what we need. But you need more than that. You need to gradually develop, according to the Shastra, what does Sri Goswami say right at the beginning of Bhagavatam? Shushu sho shodhana se vatna. He says, Tachodhana muniyo, jnana vairaga yuktiya, prashadhyat nichavana bhakta shudhu bhihitiya. That the bhakti has to be engaging according to the shruti. according to the books, of realized books that have been given us by Parampara. He's saying that, yes, there are all these books we have given you. That's fine. But you have to read them according to how I prescribe. Just as you go to the pharmacist, there are so many drugs, and you try to do self-treatment. You take this drug, that drug, and take it whatever you want, however much you want. You're not going to get cured. You're going to get sick. And so he's saying your devotional service will be damaged by this. You have to take it as prescribed. And we're not ready. He said you're not ready to just concentrate on this food service. He's already had experience. Some devotee wanted to become a Babaji. He became a Babaji, chanting so many rounds in Mayapur, and he left. You know, doing nothing else. In other words, it's a step-by-step process. But by the same token, Prabhupada gave us these books. He even said, distribute the anti-leela in the airports. Devotees were like, really? Yes. 20,000 sets they printed. And they were going out with these, you know, how's that? Well, because even if the materialist sees this, there'll be some benefit. He wanted these books distributed. But as for us, we need to know how to approach step by step. And there's so much instruction on how to assess our own advancement. You know, very simple assessment is, how much are we detached from material desire, and how much are we attached to hearing about Krishna? You know? Otherwise, if we're doing all of this service, but we're not becoming attached to hearing the holy name, chanting the holy name, and hearing Krishna Katha, that famous phrase, Shramayavi Kevya. It's a lot of work for nothing. You know? Not that it will be nothing, but it's not what we're supposed to be getting. So that's how he smashed it. And you know, the devotees, some of them, they said, but Prabhupada, these are your books. But he gave that analogy. Yes, they're my books, but you're taking them improperly. You're not reading them according to how I've prescribed, step by step, carefully. So, you know, sometimes the devotees were afraid. I'll tell you, I was afraid. You know, we had these three colors. There was the red for the Adi Leela, the blue cover for the Madhya Leela, and the green for the Anti Leela. After this session, no one would even look at the green books. They stayed on the shelf. I don't know. There was a lot of fear and trembling. But we should read through, just like you're reading through the 10th canon. But don't think that we can only read certain passages. The whole thing is how to approach the Bhagavatam. At the beginning of the first canto, first purport, even in the introduction, Prabhupada berates those who engage in this Bhagavat Saptaha, 7-day reading of Bhagavatam. And what do they read? Of course, they read the Rasamits. That's what Bhagavatam means, you know, to the popular mass. Oh yeah, it's Krishna dancing with the yogis. But Prabhupada, you have to go step by step. First canto, the lotus feet. Second canto, what, the shins, the knees. No, you gradually go up until you get to the smiling face. Krishna's 10th canto. Otherwise, you have the likelihood of falling into illusion and to make offense. And you can cause havoc in your devotional life. Is that a good or okay? Some history. Anyone else? Yes, Tom.
Just a clarification. And of course, after I thoroughly read the Bhagavad Gita and I'm well prepared, think about the Gopi Gita portions you mentioned.
Yeah.
Could you just repeat what those were again, the four and where they're found?
Okay. The Gopi Gita, first is the chronologically, is the Venu Gita. The Venu Gita, chapter 21 of the 10th canon. And of course, we have this book by Sri Ramaswamy, which is just an expansion by the Acharyas. They're just quoting mostly, you know, from different writings of the Goswamis and others. Each of those verses of the 21st chapter. That's the Venu Gita, short chapter, very rich. Then there's it's the 35th chapter. It's very parallel to the 21st chapter. Many of the same themes and images are given. That's called the Yuga Gita because they're like the verses are in pairs. And the gopis get together and they chant to each other. Chapter 31 is called the Gopi Gita. It is the gopis when Krishna abandons them in rasa dance temporarily, and they just get together and they chant on the bank of the Yamuna. You know, each one has a unique meter. Especially, you know, Jayati Devikam Jamanabraja Shayati Indira Shastra Prahi Dayati Vrishyatam Dikshutavakas Prahipratasavas Prampichinvite. It's kind of a complaining meter. You know? Now some would disagree with that, because if you go to India, they like to chant this. It's very popular. But they break up the meter, and they break up the complaining quality. Jayati Devikam Janmanavraja. See, is that the difference? But they're actually complaining in many ways. One verse says, it says, Shabadu Dashi Jatu Sadhu Jatu Sadhati Jodha Dashi Mushadasha Sudhata Natate Shurka Dasika Badada Nigdato Dehi Kingvada. It says, your beautiful eyes are just like the petals of the full-grown lotus growing in the Sharad season. In fact, your eyes have stolen that beauty of that lotus. We have given to you your maidservants. You know, you're not paying us anything. Isn't leaving out women in the middle of the night murder? You're murdering us. Is that very good? To murder women in the middle of the night? You know, so they would complain like that. But they're going back and forth. Then one verse they say, you're not actually the son of Yashoda. You're actually the Lord of Brahma. You're the indwelling super soul. And then in the next line of that verse, suck up, they call him the friend. Well, how can he be the friend? They're just saying he's the God, isn't it? So it's back in the gopis also sometimes have an inkling of Krishna as God, but then immediately it's covered over by the yoga mind. So that's, and then there's Brahmaragit. Brahmaragit is the song to the bee by Radharani, and that is the 47th chapter. That's after Krishna leaves and Uddhava comes. And he's reading the letter to the gopis, you know, that Krishna sent. But meanwhile, Radharani is singing this song to the bee. She's in a special state. Anyone else? Thank you. All those should have opened.
Thank you.